Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Judges. This is chapter 18, and there are 31 verses in chapter 18 of Judges. And let's all go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, there are many more than two gathered together here this day, and we know that you're here. For you have said that where as many as two or more are gathered in your name, and that's what we're here for, Lord, is your name. And your name is the Word of God. That you're here also. We have you here, all the words that you have given us in your Word. You're here. This is more than a book. This is you. Your name is the Word of God. And we do not live by just regular natural bread that we can see and eat for our natural bodies, but we live by every word, which is you, Jesus, that proceeds from out of the mouth of the Father. And we know, Lord, that it's written in your word that if we're in the Spirit, if there's an anointing on your word, an anointing on us for commentary, that it will bring forth life. And we know that if we're not in the Spirit, and there is no anointing on our life or on the word that we're reading, that it brings forth death. Because I hear people all the time, Lord, ministering death rather than life. They will tell unsaved people that they got to do this and they've got to do that. They've got to keep this commandment. They cannot commit adultery. They cannot commit fornication. They cannot do any of these things. And the unsaved can't keep any of the commandments. They may not commit adultery or fornication, but they won't keep the first two commandments, to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they won't love others in preference of themselves. So, Father, we know that by faith in your word we're saved, and by doubt we're damned. So, Lord, anoint this word, anoint the commentary, everything that's done. Let nothing be done or said that is contrary to your word. Lord, open up every spirit and every mind to receive the mind of Christ and the fullness of the stature of you in their spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this is chapter 18, Judges, and verse 1, King James Version.
The tribe of Dan and their idolatry. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Verse 2. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go, search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. Verse 3. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, Who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? Verse 4. And he said unto them, Thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. Verse 5. And they said unto him, Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Verse 6. And the priest said unto them, Go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Verse 7. Then the five men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians, and had no business with any man. Verse 8. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said unto them, What say ye? Verse 9. And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. Verse 10. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. Verse 11. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. Translation, verse 1-11. The tribe of Dan and their idolatry. Now in those days Israel had no king, and the tribe of Dan was trying to find a place to settle, for they had not yet driven out the people who lived in the land assigned to them. Verse 2. So the men of Dan chose 5 warriors from among their clans, who lived in the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol, to scout out a land for them to settle in. When these warriors arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, they came to Micah's home and spent the night there. Verse 3. Noticing the young Levite's accent, they took him aside and asked him, quote, Who brought you here, and what are you doing? Why are you here? Unquote. Verse 4. He told them about his agreement with Micah, and that he was Micah's personal priest. Verse 5. Then they said, quote, Ask God whether or not our journey will be successful. Unquote. Verse 6. Quote, Go in peace, the priest replied, for the Lord will go ahead of you on your journey. Unquote.
Nowadays, people are supposed to seek the Lord themselves rather than to get secondhand from somebody else what it is that the Lord wants you to do, and if it's going to be a good journey, a safe journey. Over here it's like borrowing from somebody else. They suppose that this man was really a strong person of the Lord, and that he's read up and prayed up, and he wasn't at all anything like that. He was a man that was aiding in being the priest of an idolater and an idol worshiper. And it seems to me that anyone that would be of the Lord would not want to take advice from anybody like that. You have to be sure who it is that you're taking advice from. You have to be very sure as to who you're asking all this advice. My advice to everybody is to ask the Lord. I mean, stay in prayer, because He's the one that has the right leading, guiding, and direction. Amen?
Amen.
You know, even trust me. If I seek something out for you, then all that's doing is getting you something second hand. And that might work for you for a while, to where you can come to me or somebody else that is of the Lord and borrow from them the answers that they have accustomed themselves to finding out. There's a time when people seek the Lord from the infancy, from the time they got saved until the time they die. And if you continue seeking the Lord on a daily basis and all throughout the day, then you get so accustomed to hearing from the Lord that you never find it necessary to go to talk to anybody else but Him in regard to whatever it is that you want the answers for. And it takes a lot of time. Like when I was working out with weights, and I was wanting to be Mr. Universe at one time when I was very young. I had to work out every day because, and you can't just jump into it. It takes, you have to start out small and just keep working at it until you build up a little bit each week. But if you just want to work out maybe two or three times a week or four times a week, you'll find out that you will never make much progress at all. And if you only work out four times a week, that will maintain what you already have, but you won't get any better. But if you work out five and six and seven times a week and don't try to lift too much weight or grow too fast, well, then you will be able to to grow. But if you try to overdo it when you first start out because you realize how puny you are, or how obese you are, or out of shape you are one way or the other, you will wind up injuring yourself, and you will not be able to make gains as you because you are not realizing that you had these things have to come gradually. And that's just the way that faith happens too. In order for you to be able to hear from the Lord, you can come to somebody like myself or others that know the Lord very well, and you can borrow from them, but a lot of times maybe I will not be available, and you'll need an instant answer, or other people that are of the Lord won't be, that know the Lord real well won't be near you, and you'll want to get an answer. And because of the fact that you relied on somebody else to give you the answer of where you're, what to do, or where to go, or when not to go, you will not be ready. You won't be trained up as you're supposed to have been trained. You have to work out every day if you want to be Mr. Universe. If you want to talk to the Lord, the master of the entire universe, and be able to get specific answers and to get the different talents that the Lord wants you to have, and to be able to be productive as much as you possibly can be, then you must start out immediately divorcing yourself from the things of this world and paying attention to the things of the Lord. Because if you spend a lot of time watching TV or movies or reading books or papers or other things that have no power in them whatsoever, you may think to yourself that this is the most important thing in the world for you to do. But what you're doing every time you take an hour or even a few minutes to do something other than study the Word of God and seek God in prayer, all you're doing is cheating yourself from the ability to be able to get a hold of the Lord and get the answers for yourself. And these are the last days, and the Lord wants people that are exceedingly familiar with the Spirit of God, that know His voice, and people that know how to get a hold of the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you may think that you're safe by being around somebody that knows the Lord real well, and that you can just shower them with all kind of questions. A person of the Lord will do that for you, but you're a spiritual cripple if you don't start trying to pull yourself up and out of it. A person that runs a race has to start out maybe running maybe for a half hour or something like that, and then you can't get out on the track and begin running 40 miles a day. You'd cave in, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You used to run, didn't you, Sharon? You used to run too, didn't you, Miriam?
Yeah.
You have to start out slow, right? And then you keep working at it every day, and the more you work out at it, the longer you'll be able to run. Amen?
Yeah.
That's just the same way if you're on a treadmill or something. You have to start gradually, because if you are used to running maybe 5 miles, or and you try to do 40 miles, you could wreck your hips or your knees or your ankles or your feet even, and you won't be able to run at all. So it's better. But if you run gradually and build up gradually, that way those muscles will grow up, will get used to what you're doing gradually, and that way you'll be able to do the 40 miles without with ease. Amen?
Amen?
Some people run even longer than that, but they started out, you know, as infants. They started just running maybe a half a mile, and then then later on, a mile, and so on and so forth, right? Okay, that's the way it is with building faith up enough to be able to hear from the Lord. Lifting weights, it profits a little bit, bodily exercise, and so does running. A lot of people don't realize that their heart might be in bad condition. They start running 10 miles or something like that right off the bat. You could drop dead. A lot of people have. So you have to build it up. Even people that have built themselves up to be able to run maybe 10 miles, when they get past 5, some of them have dropped dead just from running a small amount like that. So anyway, these people are relying on you. They're asking the prophet, and the man is he's a backslidden man. He's definitely not of the Lord. The Levites are supposed to minister in the temple, not in somebody's house, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then especially a house where somebody is an idol worshiper and it's got all idols all over the place. So we know better than that. So, you know, you got to get on the right track, and it's best to start out right away and start exercising your spiritual muscles to get up to the throne. Constantly stay before him. Why do you say I can't constantly? Well, stay up there as much as you can every day, and you'll get so used to it little by little that pretty soon you'll be up there. But you have to turn your eyes away from the things that your flesh likes to look at, or the things that your flesh likes to do. And if you'll do that, that's the only way you're going to have a chance to excel in the spiritual realm. All right, so much for that. Okay, let's go on.
Verse 7. So the 5 men went on to the town of Laish, where they noticed the people living carefree lives like the Sidonians.
See, they weren't reading the Bible. They're just like carefree. Just don't care about anything. Just themselves. Eat, sleep, and go to the restroom. And what else?
They were peaceful and secure. The people were also wealthy because their land was very fertile, and they lived a great distance from Zidon and had no allies nearby. Verse 8, when the men returned to Zora and Eshtaol, their relatives asked them, quote, what did you find, unquote. Verse 9, the men replied, quote, let's attack, exclamation mark. We have seen the land, and it is very good. You should not hesitate to go and take possession of it. Verse 10, when you get there, you will find the people living carefree lives. God has given us a spacious and fertile land, lacking nothing, exclamation mark.
See, they're carefree. They're not expecting any danger or anything. You can just swoop down on them and kill them. And that's what the devil sees, a bunch of people living a carefree life. They're not prayed up. And the Lord's trying to get through to you to warn you, and he's inflicting you with one thing after the other. And you don't get it. You keep thinking, well, I don't know, there's just something wrong with me. When it's an affliction caused from the Lord, he's doing this in hopes that you'll call out to him and get a hold of him, because he knows how carefree you are, how careless you are with your lives, and that you don't have the ability to hear him. So you have to take this very seriously, because the Lord says for us to fear him. The whole duty of man is first to fear him, and that doesn't mean reverence him, because he's a terrorist. The Apostle Paul tells, all throughout the Bible says he's a terrorist, and it's, oh, God doesn't want us to fear him. Yes, he does. He says, well, you don't want your children to fear you. No, I don't, but I have to have them fear me. They have to know that if they are doing something that is ungodly, that there are consequences that they're going to have to pay for it. And so in that respect, you know, I told my mother when I was a kid, I said, I don't know how you put up with so much of this stuff from my brothers, you know, Danny and Ricky. I said, boy, when I get to be older, I'm going to have my kids trained to the point that all I have to do is just raise an eyebrow, and they're going to, you know, snap out of it right quick, you know? And when I found out that this is the way the Lord wants it, he wants our children to fear us. You know, you see so many children today just like almost spitting in their parents' faces. And don't anybody ever try that with me, okay? Because you're going to go into the woodshed, okay? In the woods, okay? You're going to go out on the wood pile. And we're going to teach you the way, you know, of Buona, the way of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
The big boss. Okay? So go ahead.
Verse 11. So 600 warriors from the tribe of Dan set out from Zorah and Eshtaol. King James Version, verse 12. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Wherefore they called that place Mahaneh Dan unto this day.
Now the Bible says that we're in a war. And when you're in a war, you better be armored. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm in a war. Well, then, which it doesn't matter whether you realize it or not, you may be so empty-headed and careless and carefree that you don't realize that there are predators all around you. If your spiritual eyes could open up, you'd be able to see demons all over the area where you are. And you'd be able to see angels as well. But they're pot-shotting us all the time. There's a battle going on. And whether you want to be in warfare and whether you want to fight or not, you're in the fight, kiddo. Amen? You have to wake up and stop living a carefree life, a careless life, and you have to be armed with the Word of God, the double-edged sword, and the whole armor of God as well. Yeah, you got to know what you're doing. I mean, this is the most fierce battle of all. This is the Battle of Armageddon. It's the fight between God and Satan for your soul and for the souls of others. So be careful to do what you're being taught to do. Don't just hear it, let it go in one ear and out the other. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Now, he put pastors, prophets, teachers, preachers, and all of us people that help to help you to get strong in the Lord, to help you reach maturity. You're not just learning this like you would some textbook. This is something that has to be applied to your life. You have to live the things that you're learning. Otherwise, you're living the careless and carefree life. There's a 600 troops, 6,000 troops surrounding you, hundreds of thousands of troops around you, and all they want is your eternal soul to burn in hell. And if that doesn't quicken you to want to be a master at warring, you will all to be warriors, well, then there's something wrong with your spiritual mind. You need to put on the mind of Christ and so that you can be totally capable of warring successfully, because you have to win this battle. You must win it, or else you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And it doesn't matter whether you want to be in the war and you say, well, I'm a peace-loving man or a peace-loving woman or a peace-loving boy or girl, you better get that out of your head, because the only peace we have is when we have the full armor of God on and we're armed with the Word and we have total confidence and boldness to be able to get to the throne of the Lord and to have Him come down and take care of the problems that we have. Or there are people that are attempting to destroy us. There's a prayer of David, how he tells that, Lord, you have annihilated my enemies for me. You have kept me, and so on and so forth. That prayer is in the book of Psalms, and also it is in the book of 2 Samuel. You could read a little bit of it if you'd like. Would you like to read a little bit of that?
Sure.
Okay, it says, I think it's in chapter 22 of the book of 2 Samuel. It's the prayer of David. Saul was trying to kill him. And you know that Saul was not able to kill him because the Lord came down and told him where to hide and where to go and everything. Is that it?
22?
22 or 23, yeah.
I think it might be David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all.
Right. Okay, let's go ahead and read it.
Okay.
And this is a song. See, that David was a musician, and he used to tell us in the Bible, in Chronicles, and in Samuel, where he would organize the music and would write songs unto the Lord. And they were in the Spirit. It was actually the Spirit of the Lord giving him the songs. And here's one of them right here, because it's all true. Read it. They show you how important it is to be led by the Lord, to be totally armed and armored and in the favor of the Lord. Go ahead, read it.
And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies.
The Lord delivered him. But why did the Lord deliver him? Because he exercised his spiritual muscles every day until the point that he was able to hear from the Lord, and the Lord was hearing from him. And because of the fact that he was desirous of the Lord's voice, him hearing his ability to be able to hear the voice of the Lord delivered him. Because when you keep all the commandments, the Lord is on your side. But if you don't, you know, you might wind up in one of those tsunamis, you know, or a typhoon, or something else. Because those people are over there, they're not of the Lord. 70% of them were Buddhists, and the others were Muslims, and then there was a bunch of these Hindus, you know. And you can't do that and be blessed by the Lord. 150,000 already have been found dead. And here all these African Muslims and all that, there's millions of them that are being slaughtered over there. And people say, well... But David says, it didn't happen to me. You let me escape all the time. Read some more.
In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul.
Who delivered him?
The Lord.
Yeah. Okay, so if you don't know the Lord, who's going to deliver you? Huh? There's nobody else to deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
Who's going to deliver the Muslims out of the tsunami? Hmm? And the Buddhists. They didn't get delivered, did they? The Lord tried to give them a wake-up call, but still, it shows them on television, on the news, you know, still chanting to Buddha. Well, they didn't take the wake-up call. There's something wrong with somebody like that. They're, you know, got knockheads. Right? Hard heads. Hard knot heads. You ever see a knot in a pine tree? You just can't get anything through it. Okay, go ahead.
And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress.
Yeah,
and
I can stand on the Lord. He's my fortress. In other words, I can hide in him. Nobody can touch me. Amen?
Amen.
If you're right in there with him. But if you're not, well, who knows? They said, well, we're in the middle of the United States. There's no tsunami out here. The Lord can make a tidal wave come clear out here and cover the whole United States if he wants to. Hey. Okay, what else?
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer.
He's my deliverer and my fortress. He delivers, okay? Why? Because you could tell that the psalmist is talking to him all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
And he says in this song here, he says that he puts words in my mouth. He puts these words on my tongue. Well, the Lord Jesus said the same thing. The words that I speak are not my own, but it's the Lord's word. So he says, he puts his words on my tongue. So these words are coming right from the Lord God. Amen?
Yeah.
Because he talks to him, and the Lord puts his words on his tongue. Hallelujah!
Amen.
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 Okay, then what?
The God of my rock, in him will I trust.
Yeah, oh, you're going to trust in some Levite that's in an idol worshiper's house? He says he got a screw loose. Several screws loose, amen?
Amen.
In their noggins. Okay, then what?
He is my shield and the horn of my salvation.
Yeah,
my
the Lord is. Because he trusts in the Lord 100%. Okay, then what?
My high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence.
You saved me from violence. There's all kind of violence in the world. Don't you need to be saved from violence?
Amen.
All the terrorists and everything? Well, if you're talking to the Lord all the time, you'll be saved from all this violence. He saved David from violence. Man, they had troops after him all the time. And they never got him. Amen?
Amen.
He was like a spirit. You know, the Lord says, okay, go over here now. Now, wait a minute. Now they're coming this way. Go over that way. And they just get all tired and worn out looking for him. And they go. He's hiding in a ditch or a cave someplace. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Yeah, I'll call on the Lord. I'm not going to call on that stupid Levite. It's over here with an idol worshiper. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to talk to Cornball Billy out here in the Ozarks or anybody else for that matter. I'm going to call on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I see people confiding in each other like they're really going to learn something or something is happening. You know, they're just so wise. You be wise. You think you're so wise. Not wise. The Lord is wise. Amen?
Amen.
And you're wise only if you're getting advice from him.
Amen.
Directions. Amen?
Amen?
Then what?
So shall I be safe from mine enemies.
Mm. That's positive. When people call me up and they say, I need to be healed, I need to be healed. You saw people today call up and they all got healed, right?
Right.
I didn't say, you will be, you possibly will be healed. I said, you will be healed. You tell your mother or your sister or brother or whoever it is, call me and they'll be healed immediately because, and what does he say? I will be?
So shall I be saved.
I shall be saved. Hallelujah, because he trusts the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
When the waves of death compassed me.
When death stares me face to face. When death is staring me in the face. That's what he's saying there. Then what?
The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about.
Yeah, because death would stare me right in the kisses. Then what?
The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord.
Yeah, when death would stare me right in the face, I called on the Lord. Then what?
And cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears.
So it went right into his ears. Then what?
Then the earth shook and trembled.
Wow, the Lord shook the earth and it trembled. Then what?
The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down.
You don't think he could do that? He makes smoke come out of Old Faithful and the Yellowstone National Park every hour on the hour. There's all kinds of volcanoes everywhere. He's making them erupt. Amen?
Amen.
You don't think they can blow... you see these people smoking cigarettes and blowing smoke through their nose?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think God can blow smoke through his nose?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And fire come out of his mouth? The Word of God is like a fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind.
So he was riding upon a cherub. That's like a mighty angel. a cherub is a cherub. Cherubim is plural for cherub. A cherub is actually a mighty angel. Okay? So read that line again about the cherub.
And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind.
Beautiful, isn't it? And he come down and rescued me. The Lord says he'll move heaven and earth to rescue you if you're his person. Amen?
Amen.
And so you just can't, you know, you can put all the faith you've got in the Lord. Because you don't have to worry about it. Just give him all the faith. Release yourself to him. Surrender yourself to the Lord. Now, some people don't believe that. They're going to be in hell. There's just no way off for them. And in the lake of fire. Because by faith you're saved, and by doubt you're damned. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared.
Now he sent out his mighty arrows against the people that were wanting to kill David. Death was staring him right in the face, and the Lord sent arrows at him. They made David's arm strong to where he could bend the bow of brass. Brass is a very tough material. Amen? Gold you can bend, but try to bend brass. Okay? You'll try it, and the sweat from your hands will cause the brass smell to get on your hands, and it's awful smelling. But you won't bend it. And then what else?
The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils.
Yeah, it could be that all kinds of people were looking over there. Yeah, the Muslims were saying, we're going to kill every white man. We're going to kill all these Christians and everything. And the Lord sent a blast, just one little old wave down there, a tsunami, and just snuffed them out. Okay? And they try to make it look like Mother Nature did that. There ain't no Mother Nature. Okay? Goofy? All right? God says he does that. And you better not call him Mother Nature because he doesn't like that name. Okay? His name is God, the Almighty, Holy, Eternal God. And he's not a cool God. He is the Almighty, Holy, Eternal God. Don't be saying, anytime I see these people on TV saying God is cool, anyone that says that is uncool.
Amen.
They're really stupid. And what else? They don't know God.
Amen.
So what else?
He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy.
He delivered me out of the hand of his mighty enemies, people that were far stronger than him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at all the enemies we've got today. David, Saul's little army and stuff is nothing in comparison to what we got. The whole United Nations is against me. I know that I have to stay hold of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, there's too many enemies. They're too strong for me. But with God, I'm more than they are. Amen?
Amen.
So they say, what's this guy? We'll get him. And here comes the tsunami. Amen? Or the breath goes out of their body. Or they have to go get four bypasses.
Amen.
Yeah? Mr. Clinton, you shouldn't write bad things about me in your books anymore. Okay? The Lord is liable to snap your cord next time. Okay, then what? You better take my heed too, Mr. President, former President. Okay? And stay away from Miss Lewinsky's. That's another warning. Okay, what else?
He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
Because the Lord, if the Lord delights in you because you delight in him, well, then you've got a chance, a great chance. I mean, there's nothing can harm you. But if you don't delight in the Lord, he doesn't delight in you. You're nothing to him. You're a goat. You say, oh, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, then what?
The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity.
Yeah, now either David, I believe, wrote this psalm while Saul was after him, and everything before he had actually committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. But a possibility. And then, too, if it was after that time, which I don't believe, if it was after that time, the Lord didn't condemn him because he made him pay in a different way. Because he knew he would repent, and it's just he cleaned him up. He forgave him on that one, because that's the only time he ever lost it, because he stayed away. He was not 100% in with the Lord. But today we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father living in us by the Spirit, and we have no excuse. They have no excuse to do that. So, back in those days, I mean, they were supposed to go in and kill people like Uriah. He was a Hittite. Amen?
Amen.
And so, but he was one of the mighty 30. They had two groups of people there, the mighty 3 and the mighty 30. Quote, mighty 30, unquote, and the mighty 3. These were, unquote, these were people that guarded David, and they were mighty warriors. They were an elite group of people that were his guards. A lot of them were refugees. A lot of them were they were people that were running from the law, and they found refuge in David. Yeah, but one thing about them is they were very loyal to him. And they came from, some of them were Philistines, former Philistines, and some were Hittites and everything. But there was actually 38 of them, but they called them the Mighty 30. So Uriah was one of them, of the mighty men that used to support David. And God just allowed him to have a crew of people that were exceedingly loyal to him in that regard. One of them killed 800 people at one time. A lot of them were very powerful men. Okay, then go ahead.
Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness.
He repaid me for my righteousness. God repays you for being right. He delivers you, because there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to, right now you're sitting fat and sassy, but one of these days you're going to get so stinking sick, near to death, and you know that if you died, your soul would go to hell. But if you're righteous and you're clean before the eyes of the Lord, you're going to know you're delivered. He's going to deliver you, for sure. And there's two choices to go. You can do anything you want. You got a free will, but if you, he says, the Lord delivered me because of my righteousness and because of my cleanness. Amen?
Amen.
And what else? Read it again.
Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight.
Yeah, in God's eyesight. Now people will look at David and judge him really harshly. And usually the ones that do that are the ones that are really committing fornication, adultery in their heart. And but David did it. He was so used to having all those females that he saw that one and he just figured, I guess he just was so used to having whatever he wanted, but he wasn't in the spirit. And he took the wife of this Hittite. And he was punished severely for it. He didn't have the Spirit of God. God would come down from time to time and speak through him, but he didn't have the Spirit of the Lord in him at all times. Okay? And what?
With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful.
Yeah, if you're a merciful type person, God will be merciful to you. I mean, he really is a... All the promises that the Lord made, David says that he has proven that all his promises are true. He definitely kept all his promises. Then what else? And I can say the same thing.
And with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp.
Yeah, pride always goes before a fall. He'll bring the haughty people down and humble them. And if they don't, like a lot of people are diseased and full of all kinds of problems, and they don't realize the Lord just wants them to repent and get back to him, and he'll loosen up and let you change your whole atmosphere for you. Okay? Attention. You try to figure that out with your carnal mental thinking. You can't do that. That he just does it then. You just have to believe by faith, not by sight. It's by faith in the unseen. This God keeps his promises. Okay? You try to think, well, he hasn't done this, and neither have you. If you're been unsavory, he's unsavory to you. Amen? If you're forward, right?
Right.
And then what?
For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness.
He's not saying you are the light. He says you are my light. You are my light. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I have no other light but you. I have no other way of direction but through you. I'm in darkness without you. I can't do anything with you. I can't even walk anywhere because it's so dark in this world without you. That's what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms.
Yeah, the other version would say like brass, you know, the original, a bow of brass. Yeah, brass is tough. Okay, what else?
Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise.
This psalm can also be found very close to the same kind of psalm. You know, I believe this is Psalm 55. Okay, but we don't go on there right now. Okay, keep going.
Yea, they are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people.
God, can you believe that? you have delivered me from the strivings of my own people. There's many of my own people that strive against me, and God has delivered me from the strivings of my own people too. That's what he's saying. You've delivered me from the strivings of my own people. His old wife, he just put her in ward, you know. God put him in power of that. And she was childless for all of her life. Good. Okay, what else?
Thou hast kept me.
Didn't want to raise any of her brats. Amen?
Amen.
The woman that bed, all she would have would be brats, right?
Amen.
Then what else?
Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me.
Yeah. They don't want to serve me, but they have to. Okay? That's what he's saying. What else?
Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places.
Yeah, they will pretend like they are benevolent to me. But even so, if they're that they're pretending, they still have to serve me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, in other words, he's not fooled with this any more than I am. I know when people are pretending, you know. Pretend you're happy when you're blue, you're sad. Okay. What else?
The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation.
That is so good. The Lord lives. He's alive, man. He knows everything. Amen.
Amen.
He's alive. I thank God that he's alive.
Amen.
Amen. That's a beautiful statement right there in itself. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord liveth. He's alive. Then what?
It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me. And that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man.
See, all these things the Lord has done for him. Because he delights in the Lord delights in him.
Amen.
What you sow, you're going to get from God. Amen?
Amen.
You thumb your nose at him, pay no attention to him, don't call on him, don't talk to him or anything. You're nothing to the Lord then. You got nothing coming. That hell and the lake of fire. You don't believe I'm here? Well, I don't believe you're here. Just dissolve you. And soon. Soon and very soon. Okay, then what else?
Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Judges.
Cam is in verse 12. Behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim. Verse 13. And they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim, and came unto the house of Micah. Verse 14. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod and teraphim, and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. Verse 15. And they turned thitherward, and came to the house of the young man the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. Verse 16. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. Verse 17. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up, and came in thither, and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate, with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. Verse 18. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? Verse 19. And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Verse 20. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. Verse 21. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. Translation, verse 12 through 21. They camped at a place west of Kirjath-Jearim in Judah, which is called Mahaneh Dan to this day. Verse 13. Then they went up into the hill country of Ephraim, and came to the house of Micah. Verse 14. Then five men who had scouted out the land around Laish said to the others, quote, "There is a shrine here with a sacred ephod, some household idols, and a carved image, and a cast idol. It's obvious what we ought to do," unquote. Verse 15. So the five men went over to Micah's house, where the young Levite lived, and greeted him kindly. Verse 16. As the 600 warriors from the tribe of Dan stood just outside the gate, verse 17, the five spies entered the shrine and took the carved image, the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the cast idol. Verse 18. When the priest saw the men carrying all the sacred objects out of Micah's shrine, he said, quote, "What are you doing?" unquote. Verse 19. Quote, "Be quiet and come with us," they said. "Be a father and a priest to all of us. Isn't it better to be a priest for an entire tribe of Israel than just for the household of one man?" unquote. Verse 20. The young priest was quite happy to go with them, so he took along the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the carved image. Verse 21. They started on their way again, placing their children, livestock, and possessions in front of them. King James Version, verse 22. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. Verse 23. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, "What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company?" Verse 24. And he said, "Ye have taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee?" Verse 25. And the children of Dan said unto him, "Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household." Verse 26. And the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. Verse 27. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. Verse 28. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein. Verse 29. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first. Verse 30. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. Verse 31. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Translation, verse 22 through 31. When the people from the tribe of Dan were quite a distance from Micah's home, Micah and some of his neighbors came chasing after them. Verse 23. They were shouting as they caught up with him. The men of Dan turned around and said, quote, "What do you want? Why have you called all these men together and chased after us like this?" unquote. Verse 24. Quote, "What do you mean, what do I want?" Micah replied. "You've taken away all my gods and my priests, and I have nothing left!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 25. The men of Dan said, quote, "Watch what you say!" Exclamation mark. Some of us are short-tempered, and they might get angry and kill you and your family, unquote. Verse 26, so the men of Dan went on their way. When Micah saw that there were too many of them for him to attack, he turned around and went home. Verse 27, then with Micah's idols and his priests, the men of Dan came to the town of Laish, whose people were peaceful and secure. They attacked and killed all the people and burned the town to the ground.
That's why people think they're so safe and secure. You have to be careful. We need the Lord. And he's not going to fight for you unless you are talking to him and keeping his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
That's for sure. It's scriptural all the way through the Bible, Old and New Testament. See what else?
Verse 28. There was no one to rescue the residue of the residents of the town, for they lived a great distance from Zidon and had no allies nearby. This happened in the valley near Beth Rehob. Then the people of the tribe of Dan rebuilt the town and lived there. Verse 29. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor Israel's son, but it had originally been called Laish. Verse 30. Then they set up the carved image, and they appointed Jonathan, son of Gershon, a descendant of Moses, as their priest. This family continued as priests for the tribe of Dan until the exile. Verse 31. So Micah's carved image was worshipped by the tribe of Dan as long as the tabernacle of God remained at Shiloh.
Yeah, and the tribe of Dan got what was coming to them later on, you'll hear. Okay, then what?
Commentary.
Now the commentary.
18, verse 1. Seeing how Israel at that time had no king, they were dispersed and they were all given their different territories that they could occupy, but they had to conquer them first. So seeking an inheritance is the actual, quote, task of the day, unquote, so to speak. The Danites were unable to lay claim on their entire territory located between Judah and Ephraim, Joshua chapter 19, verse 41 through 46, because of the opposition of the Amorites, 1 verse 34 through 35, and later of the Philistines. 18 verse 3. Recognize the voice. The Danites may have recognized his accent, and they did. 18 verse 5. Quote, please inquire of God, unquote. They were seeking an oracle from God that would assure them of success through the Lord, though the Lord had already revealed his will to the Danites with regard to their inheritance. More than likely, their disobedience and lack of faith in the Lord prevented them from capturing the whole territory from the Amorites and Philistines. The Danites did not follow God's revealed plan for them when they captured Laish as an inheritance. In disobedience, they established an idolatrous center of worship at Dan, formerly Laish, which became prominent during the reign of Jeroboam. Chapter 1, verse 30 through 31, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28 through 30. 18, verse 6, quote, go in peace, unquote. The Levite proclaimed the message they wanted to hear and even authenticated it by using the Lord's name. 18, verse 7, Laish was a Canaanite city in northern, what they call Palestine, it's really Israel, referred to as Leshem, in Joshua 19, verse 47. It was isolated from the Zidonians and did not have any close military alliances with anyone. Zidonians, the inhabitants of Laish, had customs similar to those of the Zidonians, who were a Phoenician people interested more in agriculture and commerce than in war. 18, verse 12. Kirjath-Jearim was a city of Judah, which was about 8 miles north of Jerusalem and 6 miles east of the Zorah Eshtaol area. Mahanad Dan was the place where the Spirit of the Lord first began to move on Samson's life. You can see notes on chapter 13, verse 25. 18, verse 21, quote, in front of them, unquote. The Danites sent their families and possessions ahead to protect them against attack. 18, verse 24, quote, you have taken away my gods, unquote. Micah's gods were defenseless. 18, verse 28. Beth Rehob was a town north of the Sea of Galilee near Dan. It was also called Rehob, Numbers, verse, chapter 13, verse 21. 18, verse 30, quote, set up for themselves the carved image, unquote. The Danites established a center of idolatrous worship. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, became the priest for this tribal center of worship. The captivity of the land refers either to the Syrian captivity of Israel in 722 B.C., 2 Kings 17, verse 6, or to the campaign of the Tiglath-Pileser Pileser III in 734 to 732 B.C., 2 Kings 15, verse 29. 18, verse 31, quote, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh, unquote. These words suggest that the false worship of the Danite shrine, at the Danite shrine, was in opposition to the true worship of the Lord at Shiloh. Shiloh, a city north of Bethel, was Israel's religious center during the early settlement period in the 12th century B.C. 18 verse 2 through 6. The Danites were initially surprised, then intrigued by Micah's arrangement of hiring a personal priest. Their first question sent to indicate that they knew this arrangement was not right. It was not of the Lord. But they liked the idea of having a personal hotline to God, especially after being told that their present mission would be successful. Sadly, it appears that Micah's priest spoke only for himself, not for God. The spiritual denial only increased on both sides. When confronted by something that is wrong or inappropriate, we must not compromise, even if there are seemingly apparent benefits. 18 verse 7 through 20. When the city of Laish appeared to be a promising solution to their problem, having no land of their own, the Danites concluded that Micah's priest had spoken for God. Thus, when they came to Micah's house again, they stole his idols and hired his priest. Obviously, this priest felt no sense of accountability to God. After making the wrong decision to become Micah's priest, the young man had no problem becoming the priest to a whole tribe. We all know that the direction of our first step often affects the direction of the following steps. In order to remain free from our dependencies, we must make sure that each step is in the direction of the Lord. 18 verse 22 through 31. This episode is the classic example of an angry confrontation between people who desperately needed to change. Micah, the original idolater, asserted that he had been wronged because his idols and personal priests had been taken. Then aggressive Danites responded with threats and intimidation. As a result, the Danites set up an elaborate long-term worship system as a rival to true worship of the Lord in Israel. Micah's original, quote, small mistake, unquote, had now spread and ensnared an entire tribe of Israel. We must be aware that small mistakes are really large ones. In our own life, they have great repercussions in the lives of many other people that are around us, and tremendous repercussions for us, because that sort of thing, especially in these last days, will send a person's soul right square into hell. The Danites had been assigned enough land to meet her needs, Joshua 19 verse 40 through 48. However, because they failed to trust God to help them conquer their territory, the Amorites forced them into the hill country and wouldn't let them settle in the plains, 1 verse 34. Rather than fight for their allotted territory, they preferred to look for new land in the north, where resistance from the enemy wouldn't be so tough. It was when they were traveling north that some of their men passed Micah's home and stole some of his idols, 18 verse 4 through 6. Priests and their assistants were all members of the tribe of Levi, Numbers 3 verse 5 through 18. They were to serve the people, teach them how to worship God, and perform rituals involved in the worship services, their ceremonies both at the tabernacle in Shiloh and in the designated cities throughout the land. But this disobedient priest showed disrespect to God and for God because, one, he performed his duties in a house. Priestly duties were to be performed only in the tabernacle or a designated city. This requirement was intended to prevent God's laws from being changed. 2, he carried idols with him, 18 verse 20. 3, he claimed to speak for God when God had not spoken through him, 18 verse 6. 18 verse 11 through 26. Through this entire incident, no one desired to worship God. Instead, they wanted to use God for selfish gain. Today, some people go to church to feel better, be accepted, relieve guilt, and gain business contacts or friends, or for some social reason, or even to find a wife or a husband or whatever, or to be noticed. Beware of a fallen God for selfish gain rather than selfless service.
Yeah, a lot of people go to church just for themselves. That's it. Not to worship God. And the house of God is to go there and worship. Some people want to go there and sing. They want to get up and sing or give a testimony, and they don't even have a testimony. And it's like I mentioned here, you know, all the other reasons that they go there. So they're not going to the church to worship God at all. They're just going there to be seen and to exalt themselves. Go ahead.
18 verse 14. An ephod was the ceremonial vest worn by a priest. 18 verse 24. Micah made idols and hired a priest to run his personal religion. When the men of Dan took his idols and priests, nothing remained. What an empty spiritual condition! Exclamation mark. An idol is anything that takes God's place in a person's life. Some people invest all their energy in pursuit of money, success, position, the opposite sex, fortune, fame, a career. If these idols are taken away, only an empty shell is left. The only way to protect yourself against such loss is to invest your life in the living God, whom you can never lose. 18 verse 27. Did the tribe of Dan have the right to kill the citizens of Laish? No. God had commanded Israel to clean out and destroy certain cities because of their idolatry and wickedness. But Laish did not fall under that judgment. It was not within the assigned boundaries of Dan, and its people were peaceful, in contrast to the warlike Canaanites. But the tribe of Dan had no regard for God's law. God's law said to destroy a city for idolatry, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 12 through 15.
I see, so they were acting demonically. And there's the same thing. Demonic spirits around that are in human beings will come in and destroy you because of some haywire, because they see you living in peace. That's what happened. Amen.
Amen.
And then what?
The Danites themselves were guilty of this sin. The story shows how far some of the tribes had wandered away from God. Just because the Danites successfully defeated Laish doesn't mean their actions were condoned by the Lord, that they were of the Lord, that they were right. Their idolatry showed that God was not leading, guiding, and directing them. Today, many justify their wrongdoing by outward signs of success. They think that wealth, popularity, or lack of suffering is an indication of God's blessing. But many stories in the Bible indicate that evil and earthly success can go hand in hand. See, for example, 2 Kings 14, verse 23 through 29. Success doesn't indicate God's approval. Dan thought so. Don't allow personal success to become a measuring rod of whether or not you are pleasing God. 18, verse 30 through 31. The tribe of Dan had stolen Micah's idols, and now they set them up in Laish. Although the Danites were actually denying God by worshiping these images, Exodus 20 verse 1 through 5, they probably assumed they were worshiping God through them. See Exodus 32 verse 4 through 5. Worshiping images of gods that are not God is not worshiping God, even if it resembles true worship in some ways. For sure, people that repeat the same mistake or sin today when they claim to be Christians without really believing in God's power or changing their conduct to conform to His expectations, His commandments. Godliness cannot be merely a claim. It must be a reality in our lives. The way that we apply the Bible will show people that our motives and our actions are true. 18 verse 31. Shiloh was probably destroyed during the events reported in 1 Samuel chapters 4 and 5, not long after the time described here. Now, because Shiloh was the religious center for Israel, all adult males were required to travel there for certain religious feasts. The tribe of Dan, however, set up idols and priests in the new territory they conquered. The fact that they were over 80 miles away from Shiloh may have been their excuse for not fulfilling the law's requirements. This act was a further demonstration of their disregard for God. The true worship of God should have been maintained throughout the Levitical priests scattered throughout the land, and the influence of the tabernacle in Shiloh. This story shows how pagan influences and moral depravity had crept into every corner of Israel and the Israelite cultures. Although 300 years had passed since they entered the Promised Land, they still had not destroyed the idolatry and evil practices within it. There may be a tendency in your life to allow what you may think to be harmless habits to have their own small corners in your heart, but they can become dominating forces. The values, attitudes, and practices you have adopted from the world system can be exposed by applying the light of God's Word, the light of God's truth, to them. Once you see them for what they are, you can begin to uproot them.
All right. Praise the Lord. The Pastor Tony Alamo, and that was Judges chapter 18, verse 31 verses in the commentaries. And I just pray that you apply all the things to your life that you've heard, even from, especially from the mistakes that people make, fatal mistakes, and also that you'll have learned from David's prayer in the 22nd chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, how that God is the only one that can protect us in these last days. The only one. And we need to please Him to where He's happy with us, because, and that we're clean in His eyes. And that we're very careful to be keeping His commandments, because we have, He's given us His Spirit, the Spirit of power, to be able to keep them. And let's meditate on that day and night so we're able to live this life, a happy one, not a carefree life, but be armed and armored with the Word of God, because it is God. I want God as my armor, and I want to be armed with Him to fight for me. Meditate on that day and night, and you'll be like trees watered by the planted by the living waters. Until chapter 19 in Judges, this is your pastor, Tony Alamo, saying praise the Lord, and God bless you. Amen.